While you are busy enjoying your lunch, while you are busy having some time from 1300 hours, take time and listen to OTR News Bulletin.
On the radio news analysis, we go beyond the headlines. We don't just tell you what's happening. We ask why it's happening, how it affects ordinary Namibians, and what it means for the country's future. We examine the structures behind news, connect policy to people's lived realities, and bring in expert voices to make sense of where Namibia is heading.
You want to get into touch with global governance, global diplomacy, economic relations, trade, statistics, human and infrastructure development, and you want to see how policy planning and policy implementation is connected in Namibia. Make time and listen to OTR from 1300 hours to 1430 with Happy Juju.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Good afternoon, Namibia, and to all our faithful listeners joining us across the region and around the world. Welcome to Eagle FM. I am your host, Ndafa Happy Juju, and you are tuned into On the Radio News Analysis this Tuesday, the 12th of May, 2026. That is your trusted platform for informed discussion, critical thinking, and deeper insight into the stories shaping Namibia today. Now, as the country continues a busy week of economic, political, and social activity, we once again focus on the issues influencing governance, business, investment, service delivery, and the everyday realities facing communities across the nation. This afternoon on the Radar examines the developments making headlines and driving national conversation, from economic growth and infrastructure investment to entrepreneurship, digital transformation, education, governance, and opportunities for young Namibians. Now, among today's key stories, we're looking at the ongoing second Namibia EU Business Forum currently underway in Windhoek. The high-level forum has brought together policymakers, investors, and business leaders from Namibia and the European Union to discuss green industrialization, renewable hydrogen, sustainable trade, and investment opportunities aimed at strengthening economic cooperation between the two partners. We also turn our attention to developments in Namibia's telecommunications sector following the latest financial results released by Paratus Namibia. After the expansion of its mobile network operations, questions continue to emerge around competition, affordability, digital access, employment creation, and the future of connectivity in Namibia's growing technology landscape. And in addition, today's program explores the challenges facing small and medium enterprises following findings from a study conducted at the Windhoek Incubator Center, which highlighted barriers limiting SMEs' access to business advisory services, financing, and technical support. Now, the discussion raises broader concerns about entrepreneurship, business sustainability, and economic inclusion within Namibia. Now, as always, we go beyond the headlines to ask the questions: what is driving the decision being made today? How do those developments affect ordinary Namibians? And what do they mean for the country's long-term growth, sustainability, and development? Now, right here on the Radar, we believe informed citizens build stronger society. That is why we do more than simply report events. We provide context, encourage dialogue, and create space for meaningful national engagement. So every weekday from 1300 hours to 1430, we bring you informed analysis, expert perspectives, archived sound, and your voice in the conversation, because in a world overflowing with information, and understanding remains essential. Now, you can listen live across all Eagle FM website, or download across the Eagle FM website, or across Eagle FM frequencies, or download the Eagle FM app, and also do stay connected through our digital platforms such as Eagle FM Namibia on Facebook. Also find us on Instagram and LinkedIn. Do follow us also via the WhatsApp channel for updates, discussions, and exclusive content. So wherever you are this afternoon, at work, at home, or perhaps on campus, on the road, or listening from abroad in the diaspora, thank you for choosing Eagle FM to stay informed, stay engaged, and stay part of the conversation. Now, let's get right into today's conversation and discussion. SME advisory services are still out of reach for many Namibian businesses, a study finds. A 2019 master's thesis by Thomas Nginamundishi Nishekwa has revealed that many small and medium enterprises, SMEs, in Namibia continue to face major obstacles in accessing business advisory services, despite their important contribution to the national economy. Now, the study titled An Investigation into the Factors That Limit SMEs' Access to Business Advisory Services, a case study of the Windhoek Incubator Center, was submitted in partial fulfillment entitlement of a Master's of Business Administration degree at the University of Namibia under the supervision of Dr. Henry Benedict. Or Henry Benedict. Now, according to the research, Namibia has nearly 40,000 registered SMEs, which plays a critical, and by now, of course, the figure has increased, and which play a critical role in job creation, income generation, and economic growth. However, the study notes that about 75% of small businesses fail within their first 2 years of operation, largely due to limited access to finance, to skills development, and advisory support. And you know, where there is no council, purposes are defeated. Now, the research focused on businesses operating at the Windhoek Incubator Center and examined sectors such as manufacturing, trade, tourism, and services. Using questionnaires and interviews, the study found that many SMEs consider business advisory services essential for growth, while others prioritize financial mentorship, marketing support, and trade fair participation. The findings further highlighted that SMEs, or small medium enterprises, struggle with high rental fees, lack of financial opportunities, insufficient technical support, and limited access to professional consultancy services. Now, the study argues that small businesses are particularly vulnerable in a competitive and globalized economy, where they often lack the resources and managerial expertise needed to survive. Now, the researcher recommends that SMEs owners make greater use of professional advisory services to address skill gaps and improve business performance. Now, at the same time, consultancy providers are encouraged to reduce service costs in order to make advisory support more accessible to emerging entrepreneurs. The study also calls on government, municipalities, and private institutions to strengthen support mechanisms for small and medium enterprises through improved financing, mentorship programs, and affordable business development services. Questionnaires that were raised by the study, which we tend to, we would look into trying to fill in some of these gaps in discussing practical solutions that could emerge from it. So some of the questions that were raised are, why do many SMEs still struggle to access advisory services despite government support programs? Are consultancy and mentorship services perhaps too expensive for startup businesses? And what role should local authorities and private institutions play in supporting SMEs? How can Namibia reduce the high failure rate among small businesses? Are current SME incubator programs providing enough practical support for entrepreneurs? Now, before we get into advising those from my perspective, we're going to call up a business person so we can also get into their mind and understand what exactly it is that they desire for support to help their small businesses to actually thrive and grow. Remember, young children or family members are most times dependent on those who have SMEs or businesses to make an income. And most students who actually go to university or go to school are usually funded through these mechanisms. So let's pause right here and we'll be back shortly. Stay tuned.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have a capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know, a person who does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past,
mm.
and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the
eye.
The Welcome back. And now joining me in studio telephonically is Teopolina Ishitile, who is a founder and a business owner of Teopos Nanny Agency and Teopos Cleaning and Laundry Services. A very good afternoon to you, Teopolina, and welcome to On the Reading News Analysis.
Good afternoon, Gigi. How are you today?
I'm well, thank you. It's a pleasure to engage you right here on our news analysis. Now, Teopo, of course, today we're talking about the intricacies of small businesses. Let's first hear from you, being a founder of your own businesses, on why it's so important for any Namibian, for that matter, sometimes employed, unemployed, or whatsoever, to have their own business to help, even if it's a small business, to help them fund and care for their family members.
All right. Thank you so much, Gigi, for the question. Being a business owner is a God-given gift that you just explore, you know, with different business ideas. And it's also an opportunity for you to know your inner skills of exactly what you can do. And it's also an opportunity for you to create job opportunities for young girls out there or young guys out there that have no job or they have nothing doing. But when you create this opportunity for them, this little that you are giving them, it's something great in their hands, or it's something that can put bread on their table. So being a businesswoman is something that personally in my own capability, I love doing, and I enjoy doing it as a businesswoman and just helping the community and the nation at large.
Now, Teopo, one interesting aspect I've come to realize, especially with your laundry business, it's not all even young people out there who want to get practical into the work itself. Of course, many a times we do wait for employment, which I don't exactly blame for us to want to, obviously you want a job where you can provide certain skills. And I've come to realize it's not everybody that's so practical. But then again, you do get people saying, do something in the meantime to distract also your mind while you're waiting. Now, you're in the business of laundry and cleaning and all that. And I remember growing up, there was this particular program on TV where they would, I think they decided to turn their business sort of also into a reality show. And so how they will show the before and the after. And it's a whole transformation. So what is it that really motivates you to continue to do some of this? And also, while you answer that question as well, on top of it, what are some of the advice or perhaps practical help that you would want out there for it to actually expand your businesses and even for other businesses as well?
So personally for me, I'm specialized in hand washing, laundry. So we are specialized in hand washing, as I said, which is us washing with our own hands, you know. So it saves us actually, it saves time actually, and it's also something that I enjoy doing, because growing up, our parents will teach us on how to wash our own clothes with our own hands, and they'll say it's more funner and it's more enjoyable when you're just washing your own laundry. So I decided to use the same initiative to just offer laundry into the community with my own hands instead of washing a washing machine. Because when you get to realize that a washing machine, yes, it's really helpful and everything, but it makes clothes old. So I am just there to offer back the old routine. I'm there to bring back the old roots where we came from, with how our parents raised us and how they groomed us to say, listen, hey, this is how you wash your clothes and this is how you divide them in different perspectives and everything. So in to say is just that currently what we are facing is the fact that a lot of people are so much into, how should I say, they are so much using washing machines, you know, and they just want something quickie, you know, like, let me just throw them in, and then in 5 minutes or 10 minutes, I'm done, and then I'm off to the next thing. But then they are not for, they are not considering the fact that, yes, you are doing that laundry with the washing machine, it's helping you out, it's quick and everything, but you are making your own clothes old, and you keep going to the shop back and forth, back and forth, instead of saving money and washing your clothes, or allowing somebody to wash your clothes with their own hands, which is making the clothes, it can spend a range of, let's say, maybe months or a year without you going into luxurious shopping, you know, where you're buying every time a new t-shirt, a new shirt, a new pants, a new skirt, you know. But when you're washing with your own hands, it just brings back the old roots. And if many people can just out here to say that, listen, this is what I want and this is how I can save about it, then business will be good for us that are doing hand washing laundry.
Interesting, interesting. And I guess with the aspect of washing machines also comes in handy, especially with the heavy blankets. And I've heard quite a number of people say, even with baby clothes, there are some people who literally would not put baby because somehow they stretch and they, you know, or they become stretched out and stuff. Yeah. So I guess with anything good also comes some of those cons. With anything pro comes the cons. Yeah. But when talking about small businesses and having them to thrive, what are some of the practical things that you would want small businesses to have to get? What programs perhaps would you want that, for instance, perhaps programs such as so community, let's say Samora Michelle community, SMEs are invited to come for a workshop so that perhaps we can discuss practical ways we can help you guys to thrive, and perhaps also discuss practical challenges that you guys are having that we can maybe able to do away with. So what are those some of suggestions that you would want for SMEs owners to have in order to help their businesses to expand?
All right. In regarding with that, is that if let's say maybe the council or the people that are well known, the community can help us out with one thing. One of the challenges that we are facing is let's say an area, okay, like an area where you can locate your business. Because now some of us, we are doing it now from house to house because we do not have a stable station where we can place our laundry, you know. So if they can help us maybe come up with reasonable rent payments that we can rent a place for us to set up our own laundry services, that people can come by us, where we can create up a whole fence, where we are going to hang the clothes and everything, then that will be something that we are going to be very, very much grateful for. And also one thing that I've realized is that sometimes the reason why we are slow in business is because clients really want to drop off their clothes, or clients really want to, or they want to have your services, but then the client looks at the situation where to say that, hey, I need to go to work now, calling Tio's laundry services to come into my house while I'm not here, there's nobody to do inspection, she's just alone in my house, it will not be safe. So when you have your own place, your own station, that you know that, listen here, clients, this is where we operate from, and you can drop off your clothes. It will be done hand-washingly, and then when it's ready, we will tell you to come pick up. That is actually making the client to feel more safe, and they are going to trust us more. So I'll just encourage the counselors or the people that are in charge of this to you know, to communicate with small business owners, create up business opportunities on where we come in and we speak about our problems, we speak about our challenges that we are facing. Because as I said, that one of the biggest challenges that laundry people are facing is the land. We do not have land to initiate what we want to create up, you see.
Yeah.
So if we can have that, then I believe that this is really going to create an opportunity for a lot of young men or women or older women or older men to create a job opportunity for them, because then we are given an opportunity where we can create job opportunities by employing people that are good in ironing, to employ people that are good at washing, to employ people that are good at folding, to employ people that are good at, you know, in the different sectors of business, you see. So this is one of the challenges that we are really facing, which is land. But if workshops are to open up and we are given an opportunity or a platform to describe or to give our challenges and what we are facing, then that will really be much of help to us.
Hmm. Quite interesting. Yeah. When it comes to small and medium enterprises, even the Bank of Namibia had made an informal sector, a formal and informal sector visibility study somewhere last year. And of course, sometimes the question also comes, or wondering come into my mind to see all this beautiful visibility studies, all this research that people put into work and recommendations, and sometimes people put into put on the table. Those who have the power and the authority to implement or even to pitch those ideas that people have really put in the work to even find to find the answer, sort of, or to find ways lacking and all that, where do they actually go, you know, sort of really wondering to see what is it, perhaps what is it that needs to be done further, because you get people who are the right people who are engaging small, medium enterprises, you know, to say, what are your challenges? What is it? What are your suggestions? Okay, now things are made public for everybody, but then it doesn't really get implemented. Then, and that's an unfortunate thing, actually. Yeah. But dear Paulina, thank you so much for making time for us right here on the Reading News Analysis. It's a pleasure engaging you.
Thank you so much, Ms. Jojo, and you have a great day ahead.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. Now let's try and address some of those questions and see, just see how perhaps we can navigate around them. Now, one of the questions was, why do many SMEs still struggle to access advisory services despite government support programs? Of course, many SMEs remain excluded because support programs are often poorly conducted, underfunded, or not widely communicated. Now, some entrepreneurs are unaware. And that one is, we'll put it in capital letters to say, a lot of entrepreneurs are unaware of available services to them, while others face barriers such as high consultancy costs, complicated application procedures, which they most times don't understand, and limited outreach to informal businesses. Now, in many cases, SMEs prioritize daily survival of a long-term business planning and mentorship, of course, which has its negative consequences in the long run. Now, are consultancy and mentorship services too expensive for startup businesses? Definitely yes. Most startups operate with limited capital and unstable cash flow, making professional consultancy services unaffordable. Now, many SMEs cannot pay for legal, financial, marketing, or strategic advisory services, especially during the early stages of business development. And this, in the long term, limits their ability to improve operations, to secure funding, and to expand sustainability. Now, the question addressed by the study, what role should local authorities and private institutions play in supporting SMEs? Now, local authorities and private institutions should provide or could provide affordable workspaces, as you had a small business owner, Kepolina Shitile, talk about affordability of rent. So affordable workspaces and reduced rental costs. Easier access to finance and grants, which means making also the process relatively friendly, user-friendly to them as well, so that they can not spend long time. You know, business people generally you get some of them who are thriving so very well and they're very good in businesses, yet they're not so very knowledgeable in all this paperwork type of thing. So making it easier for them to sort of understand and making it friendly for them is one way to cut that a long process. Now, business training and mentorship programs are also very necessary. Market access opportunities and trade exposure. And by market access, we also mean getting it right at the people. I remember last year, when the Africa Continental Free Trade Area consultations or educations were being done. I remember they were also done in Omaheke and I believe in other regions as well, to just get the people or business owners to understand what it is all about and the requirements and how they can participate. And they brought all the different stakeholders involved. Now, making this accessible to the people every once in a while is necessary for those who perhaps missed it, maybe because of some social reasons or economic reasons, but then again, making it accessible for them and bringing the stakeholders involved would make the process even much easier. Therefore, help them to access these opportunities and have this exposure to different trades. Now, technical and digital skills development. I mean, we are in the fifth industrial revolution now. We need people to understand what it means to put your to open a business page for your business and what it means to consistently post on that business page. For instance, you see some business owners have opened a social media page, but they're not active on it. They don't know that even as little as just taking a picture of, let's say that banana plantation that you made the other time and the fruits that you're yielding now, that can go a long way. So partnerships are also that connect SMEs to investors and larger supply chains. I mean, somebody can have a small, medium enterprise that's doing something relatively that looks small, but may be very significant in the eyes of, an investor from another country who perhaps knows and sees that this will be a big opportunity if I can just introduce this business, to a larger market. So their support is critical because SMEs contribute significantly to employment creation and economic growth as well as social sustainability. Another question by the visibility study was, how can Namibia reduce the high failure rate among small businesses? And as you've seen, the about 75% of this small businesses fail within 2 years of operation. Now, Namibia can reduce SMF failure rates by expanding affordable financial options, strengthening business incubation and mentorship programs, very important, improving entrepreneurship education and management training, simplifying business regulations and licensing. Here's BIPOC comes into play, accessing access to markets and procurement opportunities, encouraging innovation and digital transformation. And a continuous support during the first 2 years of operation is especially important because this is when most SMEs tend to fail. Now, whether current SME incubation programs are providing enough practical support for entrepreneurs, well, the study suggests that incubation programs provide some support, but gaps still remain. Now, many SMEs still lack practical assistance in areas such as financial management, such as marketing, such as technical training, such as business strategy, and some incubation centers also struggle with limited resources and capacity, therefore reducing their effectiveness. And the last question addressed by the study was, what policy reforms are needed to improve access to finance and business training? And key reforms include creating SME-friendly loan schemes with lower collateral requirements, expanding government-backed funding guarantees, subsidizing advisory and mentorship services, introducing stronger entrepreneurship training in schools and universities, improving coordination between government agencies and private sector support institutions, developing policies that support innovation, digital businesses and youth entrepreneurship. Now, those reforms would help SMEs become more competitive, sustainable, and capable of contributing to Namibia's long-term economic development. And while I say this, also something interesting also comes to my mind. Somewhere last year when I attended a prize-giving ceremony for a certain constituency, definitely wasn't Samora Machel, John Pandini constituency, and they were handing out to the lucky business owners or small, medium enterprises owner who had entered as a call by their constituency to say in a way to give back to the community. So if you have a business idea, please pitch your idea and you might be the lucky winner. Now, there was one particular media house, a very small media house that is upcoming, whereby they were also lucky and unfortunately they got a camera. Now, engaging the councillor, he told me that those on the committee board initially wanted to disregard the media, that small media house, and then he, thankfully for his advice, he said, no, you don't do that. And this will be then the first time even that we include, you know, some of this. It might look insignificant to you, but then it's very significant to them. Ask the person, call the person, ask them, what is it really? What is their media house all about? What is it that they do? You know, young content creators and all that. What is it that they do? And at their interview, they now realize this is a wonderful business idea. It's potentially good and, you know, success could come out of it and all that. And it was already a standing business for that matter. So it goes back to say, when you have people on the forefront who have the capacity and the knowledge or who have been entrusted to make the decisions, they will operate according to their level of understanding, their limited level. You see, when you are in a world where you don't see media as relevant and as important and as even a content creator who's coming up, this is a person who is responsible, who's going to be responsible to advertising the work that you do, advancing, informing, educating the people on what is happening. Because imagine being here and we are secluded from what's happening in the outside world there. Even the hantavirus that people that now people are searching those who are on the cruise, you know, you wouldn't know about it because, hey, you have cut yourself from that which is relevant now, you know. So really, sometimes it's about having the right people who have the right knowledge, the right understanding to really understand certain ideas that people have. It might look very foolish and insignificant now, but actually has the potential to change drastically the economy and the social sector of any company. Nonetheless, let's pause right here. This right here is On the Reading News Analysis. Let's take a trip to the marketplace, but we'll be back shortly. Please do stay tuned. Should you be interested in engaging us, 083-288-401 is the number in studio. I'll see you after the commercial break.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipurane ngendo wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukulile.
Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna emi tota njuka. Okupitira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge kwata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa, mura hetatu natu, bali o hetatu watatu, o mafilane, Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back, and you are still tuned into On The Reader News Analysis right here on Eagle FM. Now let's move on with other interesting news. Now the second Namibia EU Business Forum opened in Windhoek on a Monday, bringing together government leaders, investors, industry experts and business representatives to strengthen economic and trade ties between Namibia and the European Union. Now held under the theme towards stronger, greener and more diversified economies, catalyzing business and trade opportunities between the EU and Namibia. The three-day forum is focusing on green industrialization and sustainable economic development. Discussions are centered on key sectors such as sustainable raw material, value chains, renewable hydrogen, agribusiness, automotive manufacturing, and the cultural and creative industries. Now, the forum is co-hosted by the EU. The forum is co-hosted by the EU delegation to Namibia and the Namibia Investment Promotion and Development Board. Now, the program includes high-level policy dialogues, expert roundtable discussions, business-to-business and business-to-government meetings, exhibitions, and investment networking opportunities. Delegates are also expected to participate in site visits to strategic projects linked to green hydrogen development, mining operations, and port infrastructure, highlighting Namibia's growing role in green energy and regional trade. Organizers say the forum aims to deepen strategic partnership between Namibia and the European Union, improve the business and investment climate, maximize trade opportunities under the Economic Partnership Agreement, that is EPA, and attract investment into sectors that do support green growth and economic diversification. Now, speaking also at the event is Kyren Bwende, who is the Director General of the National Planning Commission. Okay.
Particular industry. Now, for this industry to materialize, but let me just go back, say that, we see it as something distant and into the future. It is now. There are issues of the market, but as we are preparing for the market, we also have to put the house in order in terms of legislative regulatory framework and so forth. That's one aspect. But also we are encouraged by the investment that has taken place within that sector, both. We are talking about billions of Namibian dollars into that. Now, on the question of the green hydrogen or the Green Industries Council, our interaction with the private sector, with particular investor, we saw that a number of companies experienced a number of issues, some pertaining to land, some pertaining to permits, environmental clearing certificate, and so forth. And instead of, and we think that access to these services by the industry should be expedited. And by constituting the Green Industry Council in the manner that is constituted, is to allow a whole of government approach, because the needs of the industry really they can be fulfilled through a number of ministries. The Ministry of Mines has a role to play, the Ministry of Environment. And if you bring everybody under the same roof, then quick decisions can be taken to take forward this program. Now, that is only one aspect. But we also know that we are committed to working with the private sector and the civil society. We, as you may be aware, we have instituted the Namibia Public-Private Partnership Forum, which is now an annual event. We had last year one, the first inaugural one, and it came out with certain recommendations. And these recommendations that came from that forum are actually being implemented. And the president has given directives on implementation of those. And therefore, my dear brother, there is no risk of anybody being ignored. Development is a collective process. The private sector, the civil society, and government all have a role to play. And but we have to still, there are certain forums that could be exclusive for government, that others can be exclusive for the private sector and civil society, but then there's always a meeting point. And we know that as a council that we cannot really advance the agenda for green industrialization without close cooperation with the private sector as well as with communities. And we are already dealing with communities on land issues, some of the pipelines going through communal areas, and therefore we have to deal with traditional chiefs and so forth. So on the whole, and therefore our role is really to coordinate between all these different stakeholders, from private to civil society, and of course our international developing partners, for which we are also responsible in terms of the government structure.
Thank you, DG, for the remarks and intervention. I'm standing between lunchtime, and I've been reminded of the time. I would have one final short round of question. Then from there we'll take three questions from the floor and the...
Especially when it comes to the critical mineral strategy that we are now starting in June. There was a bit of a slow motion from our side, but since last year, working together with the EU, we have now gained momentum. And that strategy will be done within the next, towards the end of this year or beginning of next year. That's one. I'm also happy to announce that during in Cape Town at the mining endeavor, there was an agreement signed between ADRADA and the EU, whereby we are looking at the lithium, the end of the chain of for lithium. Currently now we are only mining lithium and then we do up to a concentrate. But then there was no option or no talks of going to the lithium carbonate or lithium hydroxide. But I'm happy to say that with ADRADA partnership, that is now a dream that is coming true and it's good for the country. And also the high iron, as we said, that was one of the biggest green project that was done with the partnership of EU. And then from the ministry side, we are committed. And then we just want, I will give my confirmation that we are ready to take this whole partnership to the end. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Isabella. Mr. Dempers, civil society organization, what kind of strategies and, you know, organizational structure that you're busy putting in place to enhance the partnership between the EU and the Namibian cooperation in the extended roadmap?
Thank you very much. A civil society under NAMNET. NAMNET is an apex body that brings together the different umbrella bodies in civil society from the different sectors and trying to coordinate civil society voice. That is the role that NAMNET plays. We have been engaging with the EU and with the Namibian government to be able to voice civil society at different strategic platforms. For example, NAMNET participates in the EU Namibian civil society dialogue platforms where we provide civil society views. I think it's a similar kind of platforms that we'd like to advocate for at a senior government level where civil society can engage with its Namibian government. And we have got a policy framework that has been drafted that is just waiting for approval by the National Planning Commission. And I think my Director General, we have got a ready-made document that just waiting to be approved.
which civil society is very comfortable with. It provides very progressive provisions in terms of how the partnership between government and civil society can be taken forward. And if we can approve that, and that could help to provide a framework of engagement between civil society and government, not only at central level, but from local, regional, and at national level. Because in the absence of a strategy for engagement, it leaves the engagement between civil society on a very ad hoc basis. And our commitment as civil society is to be able to say, when these mechanisms are put in place, we are in a constant mode of strengthening civil society in the different sectors, to engage with government, with private sector, with our partners, to be able to promote the agendas.
Thank you. Thank you.
And with that, let's pause right here and take a trip to the marketplace. Of course, you are tuned into On The Radar News Analysis right here on Eagle FM. Please do stay tuned.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipurane ngelo wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tete opoye ekukulile. Oshafafana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ileko berewa nora etatu natu bali o etatu watatu omafelane Eagle FM the eye.
Let's get into some economic indicators before we cross over to news beyond the borders of Namibia. $1 dollar today is equal to 16 Namibian dollars point 53 cents. One Australian dollar is equal to 11 Namibian dollars point 95 cents. One United Arab Emirates dirham is equal to 4 Namibian dollars point 50 cents. One euro is equal to 19 Namibian dollars point 41 cents. One Chinese yuan, yen, is equal to 2 Namibian dollars a point 43 cents. And one Botswana pula is equal to 1 Namibian dollar and 22 cents. Now let's cross over to news beyond the borders of Namibia. Talking about South Africa's Africa travel endeavor as global and local exhibitors showcase their products.
And we start in KZN. The Inkosi Albert Luthuli International Convention Center in Durban is abuzz with local and international exhibitors set to showcase their products at this year's Africa Travel Indaba, set to start officially today. Let's cross there now. Leanne Manis is there for more details on the event. Leanne, good morning.
Sorry,
Sikino, very good morning to you and good morning to South Africa. And yes, indeed, we are. We're coming to you here from the convention center. Of course, we're standing outside at the moment. There's currently a sweep happening. And the reason the sweep is happening is because the president is expected to be addressing the Indaba a little bit later on this morning, I think after 9:30 or so. I'm not sure exactly the time, but we'll find that out for you a bit later on. But he will be here. He was confirmed that he'd come and address this all-important gathering, and it certainly is a very important gathering in a world that's constantly changing. And when it comes to tourism, when it comes to people spending their money wisely, they are looking for many, many offerings that perhaps other countries in the world are not able to offer. And there's experiences, there's stories that they want to immerse themselves into and to be a part of something bigger than themselves. And I think Africa is becoming that destination of choice. And we're seeing it from the growth of this particular Africa Travel Indaba that takes place here annually. And it's huge. I mean, this year I'm hearing that there are about 500 or so different exhibitors that are going to be here. And they're going to be showcasing what they have to offer. There are 34 countries that have been confirmed that they will be here and not only looking and buying, but showcasing as well. And I mean, some of those new entrants, like there's Brazil, India, Japan, Australia, and then, of course, the growing African base. I mean, Kenya always being here. It's one of the countries that really do always come to this. But there's Uganda, Botswana, Malawi, Tanzania, Namibia. There are many, many more as well. We'll speak to the organizers. We'll speak to the tourism minister. She will be our guest here on the program, as well as the Etiquini mayor, also hoping to get the premier. So we'll find out a lot more about this and what this actually does for the province of KwaZulu-Natal and you know, how much revenue this, of course, generates for them. And I know it's a lot because there's so much put into it. And of course, you know, it is so difficult to look at the world right now and understand there is so much turmoil. There are airline routes that are changing daily and there are a lot of difficulties. I mean, flights are incredibly expensive. Travel has become a very expensive thing. So when people decide to come to a destination, they're looking for value. And what is decided here, what is spoken about here, is vitally important, because if you get that huge chunk of this tourism and travel spend that the world does, that's, of course, when you look at a good chunk for growing your economy and creating jobs. I mean, just behind me, I can see the staff that are gathering out here as they go into work at the Indaba and at the convention center. And if it wasn't for these kind of things, you know, you'll find that a lot of people don't get jobs. So it is important. The ripple effect is massive. And that's what we're here to talk about and see what it is that the world is looking for in this very crazy time we find ourselves. I mean, I found particularly yesterday, it was a difficult day for travel. I mean, yesterday with all of the, and today with all of the travel and weather issues associated with Cape Town, I mean, you just saw flight cancellations and people desperately trying to find accommodation. And then, of course, flights not taking off. I mean, these are the things that you have to deal with in this industry. It's very, very fickle. But how do you secure yourself and make sure that you can withstand some of these issues that the world is facing? Well, those are some of the things that we'll be discussing and a lot more. Believe me, as soon as we get through those doors, we'll be able to show you what's on offer. And I can imagine one of the exciting things that's going to be spoken about is, of course, that mass opening here in KwaZulu-Natal of the big Club Med that's coming. I know that's what so many people are speaking to, because this is a big job creator. And, of course, it's a great tourist destination for many people around the world, and I think it's opening soon. So I can imagine that's going to be one of the things that are spoken about here at the Africa Travel Indaba 2026. We'll see you again in a short while, but for now, let me hand it back to the studio.
Well, thanks so much, Leanne. And as she said, we'll be checking in with her throughout the morning.
Meanwhile, President Cyril Ramaphosa has given a nation or addressed a national, held a national address in which he said he will not resign.
Now, France is pitching what it says is a new
model. I'm not resigning.
Take it.
Here and am not resigning.
Taking the bull by the horns, President Cyril Ramaphosa has made it clear to his detractors who have called for him to step down that he won't be doing so.
I therefore respectfully want to make it clear that I will not resign. To do so would be to prevent process
Efiloshisho otalikulandula kona vewayuk. Ekwashili palekolo marwendo paiwano kupitila mo NHP. Watupatele komesho kwashili palekolo afika mafio pedola emiliona omlongo danamibia. Moshi joshe tukeshe kuyanja omakwafo unamiti enashane filoshisho lo paulumo mumbu. Kwa voveli ponjeo shilongo, shijoshi topo washo ijo yetu, tashiningwa inapawe banando ishoshe layash. Opo umone ya kulolo polis maule ominute disyonailela, lishangifako nhp.com.na omanga ino ya morwendo. Ponjeo Shilong, Emangono Malandula Fano, or Dodino Kulandurwa. NHP, rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHP, we're about you.
Institution. To do so would be to give credence to a panel report that unfortunately has grave flaws. To do so would be to abdicate the responsibility that I assumed when I became President of the Republic. To resign now would be to give in to those who seek to reverse the renewal of our society.
Ramaphosa also stated that he accepts the judgment of the Apex Court.
I accept and respect the Constitutional Court's ruling. I reiterate my firm commitment to the Constitution, the independence of the judiciary, and the rule of law of our country. Since the judgment was handed down, I have reflected on what the judgment means.
The President reaffirmed his position that he disagrees with the findings of the independent panel report.
When the independent panel submitted its report in December 2022, I said that I disagreed with its findings and the process of reasoning that led to those findings. In my submission to the panel, I said, the complaints against me are based on hearsay allegations. No evidence, let alone sufficient evidence, has been presented to prove that I committed any violation, let alone a serious violation of the Constitution or the law, or serious misconduct as set out in the Constitution. As a consequence, I decided then to approach our courts to take the report of the independent panel on review. I was advised by my legal team that the panel report was capable of being reviewed by a court of law on several grounds, including the misconception of its mandate, grave errors of law, and unfounded conclusions of fact.
He further said he's relaunching his action to take the independent panel report on review, stating that the outcomes of the vote in the National Assembly in 2022 effectively halted the process of further examination through a review of the report.
On the basis of advice from my legal team, and as is envisaged by the Constitutional Court when it said, unless and until the report is set aside on review, I have therefore decided to proceed to take the independent panel's report on review on an expeditious basis. I do so not out of disrespect for Parliament or its processes, but to affirm the need for such findings to be correct in law and in fact, especially where Parliament's work would be based on and informed by a report I believe is flawed.
Ntlantla Khatlhane, SABC News, Johannesburg.
Meanwhile, on expressions, drug mules and youth transporting drugs abroad. Let's take a listen to this conversation held In light of South African of a lot
right,
of young
the
people,
unemployment data, I'm joined by Ganti Pai.
A lot of young people that are being caught with drugs within at the borders, mostly at the borders of South Africa.
Sianda isibalo sentsha yakuleli ezithola isobishini ngenxa yokuthunywa ukuthi ilande noma ihambise izidakamizwa kwamanye amazwe phecelezi loku esikubiza nge-drug smuggling. Muva nje, abesifazane ababili bakuleli bakhalelwe ngamasongo kasigonyela e-OR Tambo International Airport ngemva kokuthi babanjwe nezidakamizwa ezingabiza u-5 million wamarandi. Kubikwa ukuthi bebezogibela ibhanoyi eliya eDubai bezodlulela e-Hong Kong. Okubi ke mbukeli ukuthi iningi lentsha lithenjiswa amathuba omsebenzi noma uthando online bese uma befika kwamanye amazwe zijike izinto.
Do not fall prey to these syndicates. It is dangerous. You will get arrested, or even worse, you could lose your life, like some of these drug mules traffic drugs through their bodies, meaning they swallow these items in order to secure a quick and fast trafficking of these drugs through to other countries.
Omunye oke waboshelwa izidakamizwa phesheya kwezilwandle uxwayise intsha yakuleli.
Firstly, as a drug mule, they're simply used to serve the purposes of the people who ask you to carry the drugs. If you get caught, they disappear and move on to recruit the next person. And it's your life that changes forever, not theirs. I've met people that have traveled several times and they never dreamt that one day they'd get caught. So as the saying says, every dog has its day. One day you will get caught.
Umbuzo ke uthi ingabe singabantu abasha sifuna imali esheshayo yini na noma ikati lilele eziko kwimizi eminingi yalapha eNingizimu Afrika.
Sikhumbuze ke mbukeli ukuthi nawe ungaba ingxenye yalengxoxo esinayo namhlanje lapha ku Expressions. Siyabuza ukuthi ingabe kwantuleka kwemisebenzi kunesandla kule nkinga esikhuluma ngayo namhlanje noma thina singabantu abasha we just love nje i soft life. Mbukeli, ngo 2018 ucwaningo olwenziwa lwaveza ukuthi babalelwa ku 800 abantu abalapha eNingizimu Afrika abathe chithisa ka ababoshwe emazweni ahlukahlukene ngenxa yokushushumbisa izidakamizwa. Abanye baboshwe emazweni afana no Brazil, Colombia, Hong Kong, Thailand kanye nakomanye amazwe. Mbukeli, esihambeli sethu sanamhlanje lapha ohlelweni sinolwazi olunzulu ngentsha eboshiwe ngenxa yokushushumbisa izidakamizwa. Asamukele uDr. Nokonwaba Mnguni. Doc, ngibingelele ngikwamukele Expressions.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us. Namhlanje sikhuluma ngenkinga esibhekene nayo njengabantu balapha eNingizimu Afrika. And I know that when you were doing your thesis, ubuvakashela emajele walapha eNingizimu Afrika, uxoxisana nabantu ababoshiwe, ababoshelwe lento esikhuluma ngayo namhlanje. Abantu abasha ababoshiwe bathi inkinga ikuphi? What causes them to ukuthi umuntu aqunge isibindi agibele ibhanoyi ahambe yolanda ama-drugs eBrazil?
So when I conducted my study, it was conducted in 2019.
Yeah.
And to even look at where we are now, siku 2026. So this kind of crime is still continuing. And one of the main reasons, I'd like to get into the concept of intersectionality, but it would be very ignorant of me to ignore the fact that the main reason is monetary. Okay. So like you said, it is financial.
Money.
However, it is intersected. Yeah. We do have structural barriers such as your poverty, unemployment. And my study particularly was quite diverse. We had women who were incarcerated who come from out of South Africa as far as Brazil. And we also had our neighboring countries such as Mozambique, and they all had the same reason. Most of them were mothers. So we're also looking at factors of them being the main breadwinners in their families. So it's a matter of financial reasoning, and those are the main core factors adding on to others. Yes.
Yeah. And ucwaningo lwethu liyaveza ukuthi abantu besifazane yibona that are more vulnerable
100%.
To becoming ama mules wokuthutha iidakamizwa. Ucabanga ukuthi mhlambe kudalwa yini lokho ukuthi abantu besifazane kube yibo abazithola kulobishi olunjengaleli all the time?
Look, I think South Africa is a country which is severely disadvantaged.
Yeah.
Yes, our structure, we are very much developed, but we still have rife poverty and unemployment. And I think also women are very much less susceptible in these kind of crimes as well. Because, I mean, you know, you look at a woman, especially if she looks put together and she goes through the airport. I mean, one wouldn't suspect that she's carrying drugs. But obviously with our surveillance being much more severe now, but those are the main reasons.
Yeah.
Because abantu besimame are less to be suspected. That is the core reason.
Ukhumbuleke Mbukeli ukuthi lohlelo silenzela ukuthandana naye engakazi.
Once you are caught in that queue, your life is definitely, you're already having regrets. But I also want to make it known that it's not even relationships with a partner that's out of the country. Yenzeka kwalapha South Africa. It's easy for you and I to be and say, well, why didn't you do your research? Kodwa umuntu ohleli eMount Fletcher or ohleli eMadadiyela uzoyazi kanjani lonto. If they have a friend, and these are the methods how they recruit you, it's not even the main drug dealers who are recruiting. It's literally your friend who be like, no, Chomi, I'm working, and if I'm unemployed and I'm wondering, how do you make an income? Obviously, you know, through connections, I will take that offer. And then you find out once you're there that it's not what you thought it was. So it's definitely through friendships, through close relationships. And unfortunately, we call people friends, we call people partners, but they don't always have your best interests at heart. So those are the kind of relationships before we even get into the point of maybe going to a job interview, because that's another way of how they can get you into 100%. So it means I can't really say by intwenye, but it's definitely through relationships, through umuntu ovana naye, umuntu that you're very familiar with, and bona sekusekushubile phambili, but this is not what I thought.
And ukude ekhaya sekunzima manje ukuthi uphinde ubuyele eSouth Africa noma ufonele eSouth Africa.
100%.
Kula bantu buxoxisana nabo emajele, what are some of the methods? Because bakhona bathi idakamizwa zifake einwelweni, abanye bathi zifake icathulweni, bakhona abawagwinyayo, which can also pose a huge health risk. Uma ukhuluma nabo abantu besifazane, what are some of the methods ezisetshenziswayo when it comes to drug smuggling?
A very popular, or rather, a popular case that occurred in 2011 of Uno Babalo, who had the drugs, cocaine, in her dreadlocks. It's a very rare method, but a most common method is obviously through luggage, through clothes, and obviously with women, you have that hidden in different areas of their body, within the breast, through their private parts, even their bums, it's anywhere they can stuff it. But a very distinct story that I can remember through my research is one of the ladies that were lured in, and once they get there, they actually meet the drug dealers. And they're like, well, these are the drugs. They've laid them on the table, bullets of cocaine, and you are going to swallow that. I think, if I recall, it was like 2 liters of water. You take your bullet, you drink your water, take your bullet, drink your water, until they filled with those drugs in their stomachs. And of course, it does cause some dangers and health scares. Once they reach the airport, they have to go through scans, and sometimes doctors have to be called in, and things like abrasions, where they have to get surgery and so forth. So the health risks are there. But we may know them, they may not.
Because sometimes uma usuwagwinyile lama drugs mbukeli kenze ukuthi aqhume sometimes phakathi esiswini, which can cause you ukuthi ulahlekelwe impilo yakho. Mbukeli, siyathanda ukuzwa uvo lwakho nehloko esikhuluma ngaso namhlanje, ngoba siyabona ukuthi the unemployment rate in South Africa ave iphezulu ngempela. Abantu abasha basho ukuthi siyazama ukuvula amabhizinisi, siyazama ukumaketha, kodwa imisebenzi asiyitholi. Therefore we end up sesikuma scam, the pressures of social media. Social media ingabe inom.
You look at the external success, right? And I say that very loosely, because it's not success until you get into it and actually see the methods of how they've obtained this life. But also with the current rate of unemployment in our country, you do sometimes feel, when you sit by yourself and wonder, bah, isn't those popa nini form now, And if you have a friend who seems like, look, things are easy for them, you obviously inquire, and then you start weighing the risks and the rewards, and you're like, well, if my visa is going to be paid, if my passport is going to be paid, bear in mind, I'll need 700 to go to Home Affairs and get a passport. So now you're looking at all these things, that I just have to arrive there and work, whether it's going to a business or going to clean someone's house. It doesn't seem like into enzima. And I think it's also not necessarily about buying the weaves and all of that, but it's also just thinking, ekhaya bazodlandon if uphila ngosasa, you know? So you also look at those things. Well, look, this is a risk that I'm willing to take. Akunamsebenzi apha, so I have to do this. And but there are some women who did admit, in my thesis you'd read, if the viewers can also see that, one did say it was the lifestyle. I had a boyfriend, and it's the lifestyle that took me there.
Wow, I can't believe it. Umasbuya, yeah, buya. milela ezweni la milela abasha benzi ima ukuthi sakhane so that sikwazi ukuthi.
And now let's get on to other news. It's a quite an interesting conversation, but unfortunately it's mixed up with another language. But yeah, I believe we were able to get something quite informative out of it. Meanwhile, Kenya and France sign 11 agreements. Let's find out what those are.
For more on what the summit means for Africa, we spoke earlier to Dr. Edgar Githua, an international relations and diplomacy analyst. Take a listen.
The timing is basically largely due to geopolitical power play, and France has been losing influence on the African continent. If you recall, they've had a rocky relationship with West Africa, the Sahel states, where they're being Niger, Burkina Faso, Mali, and other countries in the region. So France just wants to maintain a foothold on the African continent and has decided to try and engage the Eastern African, you know, East Africa, North Africa, to just try and remain relevant on the continent. The African countries participating, number one, can push for, number one, security partnerships with France, which is a powerful country. It's a nuclear weapons-powered country. It's a member of the Security Council. So security partnerships, trade, there'll definitely be a question around immigration. There have been immigration issues with France, and African countries participating could have a voice in that as well. And then ultimately, Africa's quest for a position, a seat, at the United Nations Security Council. France is a permanent member, and France could go a long way in pushing Africa's agenda towards getting that seat. So those are some of the discussions that France could have with Africa, and then hopefully we try and see if we can get a win-win position for both the continent and France as a country. France is also a powerful country militarily-wise, so military contracts, buying weapons from France, it's an alternative source. The only other country that sells a lot of weapons to Africa are Russia and China. So France could also want to get into those military security guarantees. Definitely, I'm sure France will be looking to ask some of the African countries on the continent, the ones that attend, if they could have some, you know, bilateral military relations. Remember, in West Africa, France had quite a number of military bases. These ones were closed down. Maybe France is looking to reposition itself in the East African coast. Some of the countries could agree to allow France to have, you know, a semblance of a military base. So those are some of the discussions that I expect would also be held during this conference. Africa needs to speak with one voice. One of the problems that has bedeviled African countries is that instead of rallying behind a common position and, let's say, maybe having the African Union negotiate for it, many countries, and you cannot fault them because countries are individual, many countries want to pursue individual interests. And sometimes in this individual these individual pursuits of their, you know, interests, they get taken advantage of because they're negotiating with bigger and very powerful countries, much more powerful countries. And two, African countries need to also understand that they have leverage. They have material, they have resources, they have things that these big countries want, and hence learn to negotiate and leverage their position instead of getting taken advantage of.
The inaugural Africa Forward Summit is underway here in Nairobi. It's being co-hosted by Kenyan President William Ruto.
Africa pushes for better maternal health care access.
Supplies exist, but sometimes they're limited, so they compromise rights and choices. It's not the failure of just a single part of the system failing. It's a result of the interconnected systemic challenges that exist. So you've got limited domestic financing in most countries. That was very obvious. They were not putting in enough from their domestic resources, heavily reliant on external support. So when that funding shifted, system struggle, stockouts happen. And we're seeing a spike in HIV infections, particularly among adolescents and young people, because of the issues that happened in terms of prevention work not being invested in.
postpartum hemorrhage remains a major contributor to the maternal death toll globally. And in different countries, it ranges from 25 to over 60%. We also see that heat stable carbetocin is working and is really helping to dramatically reduce the postpartum hemorrhage related maternal death or eliminate them, like we see, for example, here in Kenya.
Kenya hosts inaugural Africa Forward Summit at France and Reset with Africa.
The inaugural Africa Forward Summit is underway here in Nairobi. It's been co-hosted by Kenyan President William Ruto and French President Emmanuel Macron, who arrived on Sunday for a three-day official visit. The gathering is a significant pivot from traditional Africa-France summits as Paris recalibrates its relationship with the continent. The agenda this year is prioritizing economic cooperation, innovation and equal partnership rather than political, security and diplomatic relations. The summit begins with a business forum and high-level sessions on youth, creative and cultural industries and sports. Robert Nagila is covering that for us, is live for us now for more on this. So Robert, what is the latest on this Africa, France-Africa summit, and what's on the cards for today and tomorrow?
Well, it's been a very, very busy day for the two presidents who are co-hosting the Africa Forward Summit 2026. That is President William Ruto of Kenya and President Emmanuel Macron of France. Now, the day began with an event at one of Kenya's leading universities, that is the Nairobi University, in which the two leaders engaged students and youth on a number of topics on education, innovation, and technology. Now, immediately after that event, they then made their way to the United Nations headquarters here in Nairobi for a groundbreaking ceremony. The United Nations is expanding their headquarters here in Kenya because they are expecting more staff from other offices around the world to be based here in Nairobi. Now, among those attending that particular event was the UN Secretary General, Antonio Guterres, who is also here in Kenya for the summit. Now, this afternoon at about 2:30, we are expecting a meeting of foreign ministers from across the continent, and the agenda will be peace and security here in Africa. This will then be followed by a meeting, a business forum, in which business leaders from some of the most influential companies across the African continent and France will be in attendance. And the keynote speakers here will be President William Ruto and President Emmanuel Macron of France again. And the day will wrap with a banquet in honor of the business leaders and other presidents who are attending. However, tomorrow is the main day. That's when we're going to see the plenary session, the opening ceremony of the Africa Forward Summit, in which we then expect the leaders here to adopt, or rather to have the, or to adopt the Nairobi Declaration, which is going to set forward how this relationship between Africa and France will proceed. This will then be followed by various engagements throughout the day tomorrow and a closing ceremony, and then that will wrap up the summit here in Kenya. Penina?
So from what you are hearing from the participants and also from the agenda, what's really in this for the African continent?
Well, a lot of people on the ground here saying that it was about time that this was on the agenda itself, this resetting or redefining of this relationship between France and Africa. Now, about a decade ago, this process was actually begun by President Emmanuel Macron himself, where he said that France could no longer operate or engage with Africa as it had before, saying that they needed to turn a new leaf in that engagement and that it needed to be based on on equal terms, where both sides were equal partners in this future that he was envisioning, something that African leaders had been calling for a very long time, because as far as they were concerned, that relationship was skewed towards one side, and that is France. So that conversation had begun a long time ago, and it's taken even more prominence in recent years, especially with France influence waning in some of its influential spheres across West Africa, as you're about to see in this story that I worked on, in which the French president actually did address that particular issue as well. Have a look. Nairobi is the setting for the first ever Africa-France summit to be held outside a French-speaking African country. Held under the theme Africa-France Partnerships for Innovation and Growth, organizers say the Africa Forward Summit 2026 is seeking to redefine relations between the two sides into what leaders describe as a more strategic and mutually beneficial partnership. Among the key issues on the agenda are reforms for international financial institutions, climate change, trade and investment. Speaking in Nairobi just ahead of the summit, French President Emmanuel Macron emphasized the need for closer cooperation between Africa and France.
Our commitments also demonstrate that France is leveraging its expertise in sectors critical to Kenya's growth and innovation, energy, digital, and transportation infrastructure, which are your priorities. That is why French companies are investing in and believing in Kenya's potential.
For Kenya, hosting the summit underscores Nairobi's growing geopolitical influence and its expanding role in shaping conversations on issues affecting the African continent.
We want a balanced relationship, and that is what this Nairobi summit is about, and that is what the Nairobi Declaration will be about.
The summit comes at a time when the geopolitical order is undergoing major shifts beyond the post-World War II framework.
We have never considered, and I invite you to review all my statements since day one, carrying out a deployment to reopen Hormuz by force. That has never been France's option. From the very beginning, we have said one very simple thing: freedom of navigation, to put an end to any blockade, wherever it comes from and whatever form it takes, to reject any tolls wherever they come from, and to ensure freedom of navigation.
France has also seen its influence decline in parts of its former African sphere of influence and is increasingly seeking new partnerships across the continent based on multilateral cooperation and shared economic interests.
Qatar's Prime Minister warns that the Strait of Hormuz shouldn't be used as a weapon in war.
To a government which unfortunately has been used as a weapon in this one, as well as their respective countries. It comes amid very dire circumstances our region is living, especially namely the war on Iran, as well as the developments unfolding in the Strait of Hormuz, and the freedom of the maritime trade, maritime movement, which unfortunately has been used as a weapon in this war. We discussed the most significant developments on this war and the repercussions on the Gulf states, specifically the economic repercussions of the war on the Gulf states, in addition to other regional issues, including the recent escalations in the Gaza Strip and the continued Israeli violations bombarding innocent civilians and the imposing the forceful displacement policies on the Gaza Strip and the denial, the unlawful denial of humanitarian aids, by thus weaponizing the relief aid, in addition to their disrespect to the ceasefire on Lebanon, and the Israeli continued airstrikes on the Lebanese villages and towns to the south of the country. In addition to the continued threats and issued by the Israeli occupation forces against the Lebanese people. These are all dire circumstances which require all the friendly and brotherly states to continue in being engaged in continued consultation, and Turkey comes as among the leading partners with whom we always consult. With respect to the war on Iran, both our respective countries, Qatar and Turkey, jointly support the Pakistani mediation, as well as the efforts made by the brotherly state of Pakistan aiming to reach a solution to this war, hoping to reach a ceasefire and ending the war totally and reopening the Strait of Hormuz to allow the free movement of maritime traffic. We also continue to consult and coordinate with our brothers, heads of Gulf states and other regional countries in order to arrive at the most conceivable formula that would be conducive to restoring peace and order in the region. There are a myriad of issues that should be resolve through diplomacy with Iran in future. Also, the bilateral relations between Qatar and Turkey are robust, solid, and our partnership dates back long ago, and they were further augmented by our respective leaders. We always aim at coordinating with our brothers in Turkey on all fronts, be it in geopolitics, military, economy, energy, and other domains. Once again,
the International University of Management, IUM, is proud to announce a historical milestone as it hosts its first ever winter convocation in northern Namibia. The ceremony will take place on Friday, the 15th of May, 2026, at the Ongwediva Trade Fair Center, and is expected to attract a large number of graduates, families, and dignitaries. Members of the public are advised to expect increased traffic volumes in and around Ongwediva, particularly near the Trade Fair Center, between 6 a.m. and 1500 hours p.m. on the day of the event. Now, if you will be attending, please take note, gates will be open at 6 in the morning and will strictly close at 7 in the morning. No entry will be permitted after 7 o'clock. Guests are also informed that babies and toddlers will not be permitted inside the venue. Attendees are encouraged to plan their journey in advance, arrive early, and join IOM in celebrating this memorable occasion. The public is urged to exercise patience and caution to ensure the safety of all road users during this important occasion. IOM extends its heartfelt congratulations to all graduates and looks forward to celebrating this memorable event together. Thank you for your cooperation. And now, with that being said, this brings us to the conclusion of today's episode of On the Radar News Analysis. Please do stay tuned for the Onkonana Dengue program, brought to you by Matthias Hangara. From Indafa, happy Juju, it is goodbye, and have yourself a wonderful Tuesday afternoon.